Let's start this morning with a psalm. A psalm, right? Psalm 54. And that, save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Strangers are attacking me. Ruthless men seek my life. Men without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. Join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who saves, not only eternally, but you bring us grace in this life as well, Lord, in the many troubles and challenges that we face, and when we face down the enemy that we all have. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come together and celebrate your word. Father, let this be a time of praise in the worship time this morning, in the teaching time this morning, in our hearts, Lord. Let us all be praised to you, Lord. Let us worship you. And we thank you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, we are blessed to have Robin and Jonathan.
We're blessed to be here.
See, I don't need to say anymore. You guys have already done it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's stand and worship together.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Light. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. One more time. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go
in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Amen, amen. Our God is faithful, amen. We might fail, we might fall, others might hurt us, but God is never failing, and he will never let go. Let's continue to worship him for his never-failing love.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on and on it goes, and it overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Sing that again. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. 'Cause your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Amen, amen. We're so thankful for that unconditional, never-failing love. Some of you this morning may not know that unconditional and never-failing love. It doesn't matter what you've done or what's been done to you. God loves you with a never-failing, unconditional love. And I want to invite you guys to experience that love as we sing this next song.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Come to the altar.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Know what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Lord, you are a treasure. You have the most value in our lives. And you are worthy of our worship. You're worthy of all of our praise. And we thank you for your never failing unconditional love for us. Thank you for never letting go. We thank you for the hope that we have in you, that there will be a day when all these troubles will end, when sin will be no more, and we'll be with you at the altar as your bride, clothed in white and with the righteousness of Christ. We look forward to that day. We spend our eternity with you. Help us to focus on eternal things, Lord. Help us to set our eyes on you alone. We're going to sing the song, Christ Alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. The ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Power of hell and the scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand. Amen. Amen. I'd like to share this verse from Romans 8 about God's never-failing unconditional love. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for that love. We pray that you would speak through Darren, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would show us your love for us, would encourage us by your love, and that we would hear from your word this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How are you? Before we get started, if you have not received one of these pamphlets when you walked in the door today, would you please raise your hand? Because we want to make sure that one gets given to you. Every person here, we want to make sure that somebody gets one. Okay? All right, keep them up. Keep them up. We'll deliver them to you, every single person here. You can have two, yes. If you want to, you can have three, four, however many you want, but at least take one. And what this is, just as we're going through, nice haircut, Nicholas. What we're going through here and what this is, what you have in your hands, are the words of eternal life. You know, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. That just means good news, you know. And I know many of you, I saw this little cheap shirt and I just loved it, Team Jesus. That's what we're on. If we're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, right? We are on Team Jesus, right? That's right. I wore my T-shirt. That's a good question. You made the team. You know, do you remember back in the days? Well, maybe back in my days. Okay, so, all right, so when I was younger, yes, that was brutal. Anyway, when I was younger, so I was like this kind of like heavy, goofy, funny kid. And so, you know, I was kind of like always, you know, when you're the heavy, funny, awkward, uncoordinated kid, you usually get picked last by, you know, the football jocks in PE. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you're not the coolest. You're not the, so you get the last. And so what I really love about being on Team Jesus, you know, he doesn't look at the outside, my Jesus. He looks to the heart, you know, and he chooses me. Do you know what I mean? He chooses you. That is amazing to me that our God, that the King of the universe, says, I want a relationship with you. I want you to be on my team. And the neat thing is, it's just not open to the cool people like Nate. It's open to all of us. Do you know what I mean? Is that amazing? Right. And Scott. I said Scott too. No. So I want you to take one of these, and here's what I want you to do with it, okay? We gave Jonathan and Robbie, Robin, anyway, we gave them a bunch of tracts and a bunch of books, More Than a Carpenter books, for their college ministries and their campuses, and this is one of them. So we're going to hand these out each week, a different tract, and here's what I'd like you to do. I would like you to, not during the teaching time, I would like you to take it, and I would just like you to read it. And I want you to think about it. Think about what God's saying. Now, maybe there's some of you who haven't really accepted the good news. This will explain it clearly so that you can receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but wait, there's more. God just doesn't, but there's more, Leslie. Not only that, God just doesn't want you to take it in and just sit there and get fat. He wants you to give it away. So what I'd like you to do is just to sit and read. Each week, over the next month, we're going to be giving you a different one every single week. And I just want you to read it when we hand it out. Sometime today, tomorrow, put it in your purse, put it in your dashboard, put it on somewhere. And then I want you, after you get done reading it, I want you to think about it. And then I want you to pray and give it away to someone. Does that make sense? Everybody got it? All right. That's good. Fantastic. Okay, so let's go through the announcements. And I know some of the teens are out helping with the kids' ministry today. You guys know tithes and offerings. We're not going to take one up. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated or cajoled into giving. You guys know to give. You give in that little bird box in the back. Don't forget your name tags so that we know who you are. And you are a child of the one true King. Hi, nice to meet you, child. I'm Pastor Darren. Nice to meet you. Yes.
Oh, when you mentioned that we have the teens over there helping, that's actually like a really big deal.
It is a big deal.
Usually teens come to us from the after and they hide the back. So the fact that they're like actively seeking the Lord and wanting to teach other kids.
That is amazing. Yes.
Those are our kids, right?
Yes, those are our kids. Yes. And just so you know, all the kids at CYA, for those of you who don't or you weren't here, you know, even last week they were out at Christian Retreat. All of our kids from the church and school, they were all out serving all weekend long, including Monday. There was an Asian conference over the weekend at Christian Retreat, and they were serving them at their church. They took care of all the kids and did missionary stories, Bible stories, songs, games, and in fact, all these kids gave up multiple weeks over the summer. Some of them gave up all their weeks over the summer so that they can serve at different churches like this one to serve them. And many kids came to Christ. So you know what? When I hear all these things, oh, the teens, they don't know. Man, they're out there serving every single 5-day club. Some of them did it every single week all through summer. That's what they did. Amazing. So thank the Lord and ask for God to continue to do an incredible work just through all these the children's ministry and people, the servants, you, the parents, the church, the school, the friends. Just ask God to continue to do that work. And man, if you see any of these kids, just thank them for being such a blessing to others. Would you do that? Make it a point. All right. Also, as long as the monsoon doesn't continue, we are going to Sunday, September 30th. We're going to have a little picnic out here. And so just bring a dessert to share, lawn chairs, blanket to sit on. We're going to provide the meat. And so just bring a side or dessert at the end of the month here. Sunday, September 30th. After church, we'll have a regular service inside in the nice air conditioning. And then go to the outside and just play and sweat and have fun together. And then hopefully a game of kickball. If anyone is interested in going to this North River Pregnancy Center, this is their 20th annual celebration. It's free. You just need to contact Laura. I didn't see her. Laura, I didn't see you here today. Right. Okay, so she's not here today, but I do know that we've got multiple folks that are going. And so if you're interested in that, you can see Heidi and Joel. Heidi and Joel, can you wave your hands so we can see you if you're interested in going? But they're doing a wonderful work out there for the Lord, and so they just need to be encouraged. It's a little fundraiser if you want to get to know their organization better, a little dinner and things like that. Okay. Also, just different things if you're interested. Mandisa, a Girls Night Live, October 19th at the Robarts Arena. I think the tickets are like $20 or something like that from the Joy FM. Big Church Night Out. You guys already know about that. More Than Words Youth Conference. And then you guys know all the stuff, so we're just going to fast forward through it and get to the word. Men's Bible study on Tuesdays. Can I just say thank you guys for coming into prayer. All you folks that come in early to pray, man, it was just such a blessed time just getting here early and just praying with you. I'm just so thankful that you guys just do that. It was such a great time. So anyway, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. I got here at 9:30 and they were still going, thank God. So you're invited to that Sunday mornings. First and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m., we have dinner here, or the guys, and then a 6:30 Bible study. Gary is leading that if you'd like more information. Transformers Youth Group, I think Josh and Amanda just did a play day, and so we had Capture the Flag, light up Capture the Flag this last time, but they're going through the book of James on Wednesdays. And then also our parenting course that we're going through on Thursday nights from 6 to 8 a.m., 8 p.m., 6 to 8 a.m. Seems like that sometimes, but from 6 to 8 p.m. And I'm so glad people are just sharing some amazing things through that, so thank you. And I was going to have Lisa speak on the school, but she's over on the other side with the kids. So normally we go teaching verse by verse through the Word of God, of course. We did Daniel chapter 8, but we have a special guest speaker. So Mark Manley, come on up. We're going to pray for you. And I think you're going to speak on John chapter 14, and we'll jump back into the book of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to see what the Lord has to say in and through you. Oh, hey, one last thing. I forgot. Thank you. If anyone is interested, we have a few flyers. God bless you. Back in the back. There's Beth Moore is having a Living Proof simulcast September 15th. It's on a Saturday, and it's at First Baptist Church of Parish. And Beth Moore is speaking, and Travis Cortell is doing worship. Registration's at 9:30, and then it's going to be like an all-day thing till about 5. But if anyone is interested in going to that, any ladies are interested in going, grab a flyer. It's free in Jesus' name, okay? All right, Mark, let's pray for you. And then we're going to hear what God has to say to you okay. And through you. So let's pray. Father, I just want to say thank you for Mark, Lord, just being willing to hear your voice and to share what you've spoke to him. So we ask, more importantly, that you would speak through him, Lord, that he would just be a conduit for you and for your voice. We love Mark, Lord, very much. We're so thankful that he's a part of this body, but we want to hear from you. So we ask right now that you would anoint his thoughts, his mind, Lord, his tongue, Lord God, his lips, that you would cause his heart and his mind and his eyes to focus on you, and that you would simply speak through him what you have to say for us and to us, Lord God. So we ask for this blessing, Lord God. We open our hearts to you now, Jesus, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, teach us, speak to us, please. We want to hear from you, Lord God. And we ask this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. If anyone needs a Bible, please raise your hand, and the kind-hearted Chris will deliver one to your doorstep. Where did I get the shirt? It's a very exclusive store. I'm not sure you guys can shop there. It's Walmart. $4.97. Walmart. Team Jesus.
Wow.
Whoa.
Where'd you get yours?
Can you turn that down just a snig? Or maybe a snig and a half? John 14. John 14. Huh? Where'd I get the t-shirt? My wife bought it for me at the Christian bookstore on Cortez up by 75th that is now closed. Well, you know what? You can probably get it online. Yeah, I know. Bradenton, Sarasota. Yeah, I get it. You know, I think, as I have studied and looked at John 14 over the past 7 years, I think the reason John 14 is so near and dear to me is not because of what it says. It's because of what Jesus has done through my life, and he's revealed it through John 14. I mean, these are not words on a page to me. These are words of life. This is my very breath. This is the blood that courses through my vein and pumps through my heart. That's what John, actually 13 through 17, but especially 14. It's who I am. It's really who I am. And, you know, what I want to do is kind of summarize what we did last time, which was John 14, 1 through 6. And 6 being one of my favorite, if not my favorite, scriptures in all of the Bible. But first, let's look at the context of John 14. Jesus had spent the last 3 years with his disciples, 24/7, 365. There was no place that he went that they did not go with him or could not go with him. Even to the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there. Okay, and they saw God the Father Almighty transform Jesus supernaturally, and they could see the light glowing from him. They even got to see that. Okay? So there was nowhere they hadn't been, nothing they hadn't seen. And they were ready for him to be crowned as king because they believed that he was coming to overthrow the Roman government and take the seat of power as the King of Kings. That's what they were expecting. That's the context. That's what their expectation was. And now we go to John 13. We go to verse 21, 33, and 38. You talk about some bombshells. You talk about PTSD. That's what these guys are going to go through as soon as he says this. He says, someone's going to betray me. I'm going someplace that you can't come. And Peter's going to deny me. They're going, what? We're going to sit you on the throne. Somebody's going to deny you? Who could that be? And what possible price could someone have paid to make that happen? There's not enough money on the earth. But someone's going to betray him. What do you mean we can't go with you? We've been everywhere with you. There's no place you've gone that we haven't been. We've sat on the mountainside and listened to you preach to 5,000. We've seen you feed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. We saw all of that. We were part of it. What do you mean I can't come? And Peter? He's always been out front. He's been the one that's encouraged us to ask for more opportunities to witness for who Jesus is. He can't possibly happen to deny you. It can't happen. Well, guess what? All of it did. They were devastated. I'm going to ask you a question. Has anything like that ever happened in your life? That you are devastated? And even more important than that, this is the question for today. Is it still affecting your life? Either. I don't care. Is it having some effect on your life? Because if it is, I got some good news. And it starts out in John 14:1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Whew. Okay. That sounds great. Last time we talked about Psalm 81, and you might want to write that down because that just gives the heart of God as to what he wants to do for us and all of what he expects from us, what little teeny bit he expects from us. But it's just to listen and obey. That's what he asks. But for guys like me, sometimes that's pretty tough. Really? Oh, man, I thought I was the only one. He also, those are words of encouragement. He goes on in verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You may not be able to come with me today, but I'm coming back and I'm going to get you and we're going to be together forever. Whew. Okay, I thought that this was an eternal thing that you were talking about where I couldn't go with you. But if it's just a short time, I'll do my best to get through. And see, what they don't know is what comes a little bit later in John that we're not going to talk about today, but it's true. The Holy Spirit is coming. He is coming. And he is the helper. And he is going to live in you and dwell in you and show you all things. But they don't know what that means. And even when he tells them that, they don't know what it means. Because you don't know what it means until it happens to you. Until you experience it in your life. Then you know. Then the fire starts. And you go, woohoo! It's like nothing I've ever experienced before. So, He goes on to say, and you know the way where I am going. And I'm so grateful for Thomas. Because he asked the question that nobody else would ask. Or says the thing that nobody else would say. They would have sit there and go, okay. That sounds real good, Jesus. I'm good with that. But he says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Anybody ever been there? I mean, besides me. You know? But this is a very, very significant question. Because it reveals something that we didn't talk about last time. That very rarely is it taught in church or talked about in church. But it is a very dangerous place. Very dangerous place. And there are many people that think they're believers that are not. Okay? It's called mental assent. It's knowing who Jesus is, but not knowing him personally. The distance between those two places is about 18 inches. From here to here. If you know him here, you're going to heaven. If you know him here and not here, you're going to hell. Now let me read what Jesus says about that. In Matthew 7:21 through 23. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Mental assent. I know who you are. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What does it mean to know him in your heart? I mean, it's real simple. It ain't easy, but it's simple. Are you experiencing life with Christ? Are you living the dependent life? Are you in the midst of a trying tribulation in your life and saying, Jesus, I don't know what this is about, but we are walking through it together? Like you. Your son just left for the army. You're walking through that in the strength of Jesus Christ. Because I know what it's like to have a child separated from you when you can't get to them. You've got to do that through the power of God. You don't have that kind of power. You just don't. So are you allowing to be Jesus Lord of your life? Because when you allow him to be Lord of your life, then you can willingly accept him as Savior. But if you want to continue to sit on the throne of your life and be Lord of your own life, you are in grave danger, my friend. Grave danger. I guess it works. But it's true, yes. You are in danger of the grave and not coming out. And it, what is it? Somebody said insurance will get you into the grave. Assurance will get you out. Okay? So, I've got a little bit of insurance. But I got a whole lot of assurance right here. Okay? And I'd rather have assurance than insurance. Because part of my assurance is that when I'm gone, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, not according to the amount of money in my bank account. Thank you, Lord. Okay? So, then when Jesus says the next statement in answer to Thomas, this is where the real good news comes. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, here's the deal. When you know Jesus, you know everything. He knows everything, and he will reveal to you that which you need when you need it. And that includes the way home. The way home for you and the way home for your kids. The way home for your spouse. The way home for your cousins. Your loved ones. The members of your family. He knows them. And guess what? He knows everything about them. Even the nasty, stinky, ugly stuff that we don't know. That he doesn't care about. Because he's already taken care of it on the cross. As you wait for the crown, tell the world of the treasure you found, the treasure of Jesus Christ. There is no other name on earth by which you will be saved other than Jesus. So, before we get into today's teaching, starting in verse 7. Now I'm going to ask you guys to do something that's a little bit different. Okay? I know I've never done that before. But I want you, everybody, to close your eyes. And I want everybody to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Not with me, not with Pastor D, not with your spouse, not with anybody else, but yourself. I want you to be honest with yourself. And I'm going to ask this question, and then I'm going to close my eyes so I won't be able to see anybody either. How many people here, besides me, have a troubled heart this morning? I want you to raise your hand. And in raising your hand, you are admitting to yourself that you have something that is troubling you. Maybe you have a circumstance that is troubling you. And if you have something that is troubling you, how many of you want to get rid of it today? How many of you want to leave it right here today? If that's the case, raise your other hand and leave your first hand up. And what we're doing right now, Lord, is we are surrendering to you all of the troubles, all of the trials, all of the tribulations that we are facing right now. And Lord, we ask you to take them. We know, Lord, that the circumstances that we are in right now are not instantaneously going to change, but the way that we look at them can change, and they can change immediately. And you can do that. It's called deliverance. It's called grace. It's called mercy. And all of those things are available to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just lay them down at your feet right now. And we will not pick them up and take them home with us because they have no part of us anymore. It's like Jesus said to Lazarus when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth and he was bound head and foot by grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. That's what you want to do for everyone here in our lives today. You want us to be loosed and let go of the things that we are carrying from the grave, from the past life, from the life of shame that we used to live, that we are no longer bound by. We thank you for that, Lord. And we accept that and receive that loosing and unbinding and the trouble. We loose that trouble from our hearts. And we accept that deliverance and walk in that new attitude of belief and faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus says in verse 7, after the discourse of I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. That's experiential knowledge, not head knowledge. If you had walked with the Father, if you had allowed him to walk with you, if you had lived the dependent life, you would have seen him in me. That's what he's talking about. And it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. I'm sorry? You're exactly right. But Philip, and again, that's one of those questions that many times goes unasked because, well, I don't want to be the dork, that I don't want to be the stupid one. Okay? But it's true. That question is there. Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. That will finally be enough. And Jesus says, have I been so long time with you, and yet, you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me, how can you say, show us the Father? I've shown you the Father. Now, it doesn't say that Philip said anything else. But there is still a question there. Because when I was putting all this down yesterday on paper, the Lord brought this to me. And I thought, really? Seriously? He said, yeah. Because sometimes that question still exists. You see, over 20 times in the book of John, Jesus says, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I and the Father are one. We are one. Okay? But the question still remains, that Philip asked, show us, or the statement that Philip said, show us the Father and that'll be enough. Okay? So Jesus says, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And that question that nags is this one. I hear what you're saying, Jesus. I really do. But can you prove it? I see a couple of heads shaking. Yeah. Maybe I'm asking that question. Can you prove it? The good news is yes. Yes. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. The Apostle Paul, who was the worst. He had to be the Osama bin Laden of Jesus' time. Times 10. That is how, I mean, he was carrying out letters of threatening. He was arresting people, taking them back, having them flogged and killed. He struck terror in the hearts of men. And this is what the Apostle Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Philippians chapter 2. You might want to turn there to Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. It says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." Jesus was God and he knew it. He was God the Son. He was had all of the characteristics, all of the personality, all of everything that God the Father had, God the Son had. Okay? It was all there when he was with God the Father. But he considered it a thing not to be grasped, but emptied himself. He gave away all of the rights and privileges of God. He couldn't give up being God because that's who he was. But he could give up his rights and privileges and become subject to someone else's will. And he did that. He gave up everything, taking on the form of a bondservant. Some of you may say slave, but bondservant is the correct word there, and I'll explain why here in just a minute. That being in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those on in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's your proof. Jesus did what no one or nothing else in the cosmos could have done. He gave up all of his rights and privileges as the Son of God and came to earth to be subject to the will of God the Father. Nobody else could do that because he is the one and only way, truth, and life. So when we see Jesus, we are looking at the Father straight up. I'm just saying. Now, why is it important to understand that he's a bondservant, not a slave? Big difference. A slave will do the will of another out of fear of reprisal if he or she does not do what she's told. A bondservant willingly gives up everything to allow the identity of the other to shine through and be reflective of who he or she is. That's the difference. He did it willingly. He took your sin, my sin, my shame, your shame, everything that has, will, or is happening to us now, he took it and nailed it to that cross and made an open shame of it when he came back to life. That's why when I said, please be honest with yourself, raise your hand if you have a troubled heart, and raise your other hand if you want to get rid of it. That's the I give up. That's the I surrender. Please don't shoot me. Don't kill me. Well, now we are under the protection of Christ. That's why it was so. And nobody else knows who had their hand up or didn't have their hand up or whatever. But the reality is, when we're honest with ourselves, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's troubles that we need to get rid of. And today is the day. It can be the day if you let it. We go on now to verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father in abiding in me does his works. I didn't really get that until about 2 or 3 months ago. If you look at that very closely, you see a transformation that takes place. The words that I speak not on my own initiative, but my Father does the works. So guess what that means? To me, that reads, the words that I pour into my heart by the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God the Father Almighty, turn into the works of the Father? Yes! Let's turn to John 6, 44 and 45. Powerful stuff. 6, 44 and 45. John. Listen to what Jesus says here. We need to get a hold of this and never, ever, ever let it go. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from him comes to me. God is constantly drawing us. Not only us, but everybody, because he's not willing that any should perish. So he's constantly drawing those around us that he has put in our sphere of influence so that you can give them a message when the time is right. He's constantly drawing. He's constantly talking with everyone. And whoever hears and learns from him comes to me. We have a choice. We can shut down, say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about my sin. Nope, that's your opinion. That's not my opinion. I'm okay. I'm good. I was born right the first time. I saw that bumper sticker the other day, and I'm like, what? I was born okay the first time. Okie dokie. Let me know how that works out for you. Whew. But, hey, God gave us free will. And he's not going to take it away until the last day when he comes again in power and glory and says, that's it. I've had it. I'm done. And that will be when he takes over as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that will be a tough day for some. It'll be a great day for the rest of us. But so he's constantly drawing us. Okay, so the Father's word in me turns into the works of the Father through me. Whew. That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Now, hopefully, a light bulb is going off. See, when Pastor D stands up here every Sunday and every Thursday and every other time that he preaches, and when Gary stands up here and he talks, and when I stand up here and I talk, and anybody else that comes up here and says, read your Bible. Read your Bible. This is why. The Word of God turns into the works of God through us. I'm like, wow, how awesome is that? So let's look at Colossians 1, 25 through 27. We spent, I don't know how long in the book of Colossians. It wasn't long enough. I think it was 6 months, but that still wasn't long enough. So let's go to Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Where Paul says, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship bestowed on me from God for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the word of God. Now, there should be preaching of in there in italics. At least in my Bible, it's got the so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word. And it should be in italics.
And
1, 25 through 27. 25 through 27. But the preaching of is in italics. And what that means is that in the original transcripts, in the original writing, those words weren't there. And when they put those words in there, it was supposedly to help us better understand. Well, what it does, it completely changes the dynamic of the word, of the entire meaning of that verse. Because if you leave the preaching of in there, that indicates that, well, God only empowered him to preach the word. But when you take it out of there and says, so that I might fully carry out the word of God, that means he is empowered to live the entire word of God. Not him, but the one who lives in him. The word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has not been manifested to, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us that lives his life through us that Paul is talking about when he says, fully carry out the word of God. Only God can carry out the word of God, but now Christ is in us, carrying out that word and living through us, in us, as us. And in my case, many times in spite of me. Okay? But that's the truth. What does that look like? Well, Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But what that is that's the scripture on the fruits of the Spirit. That now becomes evident, or can become evident in every believer. Okay, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit of God that are now available in our lives, that he produces his fruit in us. We don't produce the fruit. He produces the fruit.
If we listen.
There you go. If we listen. Okay. If we pay attention. If we trust, if we believe in him. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a word trust. And it's got two different definitions, both of which are awesome. And that's what he's telling us to do in order to bear the fruit. And the first word when it says trust, it means to live a life being confident that the rug is not going to be pulled out from underneath you. That is cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
I mean, that is like way cool. I can live my life confidently because Christ in me, the hope of glory, is not going to allow the rug to be pulled out from under me. Because he's standing on the rug with me. He is the foundation. And you ain't moving that foundation. The other one, how many people have done any wiring at all? You know, fixed a lamp, done, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Well, the other one, the other definition is be bound together with twisting. When you put two wires together to bring the current from one into the other, you twist that stuff together. And then you put a wiring nut on top of it so that it will flow through smoothly, evenly, won't escape or anything else. Now, the reality is this. If you take that wiring nut off and you pull those two wires, you can still pull those two wires apart, but they're never going to be the same. They're eternally changed into the image of the other. So we are bound together with twisting, and the rug is not going to be pulled out from underneath us. So when we are out there doing what it is the Lord has called us to do, and it looks like, whoa, Lord, are you kidding me? Go talk to that group of folks. What? He ain't going to let the rug get pulled out. He's going to be there with you. He's going to be the one. If you trust him, he'll be delivering the message. And that message will not return void. It will not. There is life in that. Yes. Also, this is very important. I really want each of us to write this down. You're going to have to go home and read this. But it tells you why would I want to go home and do homework from church? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you why. Because these scriptures are going to tell you how important every person is in this church, including you and you and you and everybody. What you will learn from that is there is no one more important than the other. The pastor is not more important than the person that teaches the youth, than the person that sits here and receives the message and says, praise the Lord. We are different. We have different responsibilities, but we are no more important than the other. Because if we weren't out there, who would be there to listen to Pastor D teach? So we are all equally important. We all play a very important part, ordained by God himself in this body. That's why he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Think of others more highly than yourself. Be humble. He has gifted some of us to do some things and others to do others. And no gift is more important than the other. It's given by God to be used as he wills for the benefit of all. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. It's very important. Please, please go read it. Because I don't have time to do it now. All of 1 Corinthians 12. All right, we're going to get through this in the next 5 minutes. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe me because of the works themselves. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, The works that I do, will he do also? Well, so far I don't have a problem with that. Because, you know, Peter walked on the water. Jesus walked on the water, so that's okay. You know, I've heard of people being raised from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, Peter raised a widow's son from the dead. So, okay, so far we're scriptural. Okay, we're in good shape. No problem whatsoever. But the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Greater works? What? How can there be any greater works than these? Now, listen, your thought process. Think about this. Everybody's thinking in the natural, in the normal, in the things that we can see and touch and feel and hear. That's not what he's talking about. The greater work is in the supernatural. It's going to become available to them. They don't know exactly how or when, but it's coming in Acts chapter 2. I'm telling you, it's coming. And Jesus is about to tell them that in John 14:20. But they still don't know it. But he's telling them the truth in advance. Now there's four really important scriptures that, you know, I want you to read these too, because I don't have time to go through them. These are the works of Christ. These are the works he was called to do. Okay? And Christ in us, the hope of glory, can be accomplished in our lives. They're in Isaiah 9, 2 through 11. Isaiah 11, 1 through 6. All of chapter 53 of Isaiah. That's the suffering servant. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, and verse 10. This is all homework, yeah. Okay, Isaiah 9, 2 through 11. 11, 1 through 6. All of these are in Isaiah. 61, 1 through 4, and verse 10, and Isaiah 53. All right. Greater works than these shall ye do also, because I go to the Father. What can that possibly mean? Well, Second Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. This is what he's talking about. This is a supernatural work. Second Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. This is the greater work that he's talking about. Oh, this is such good news. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Oh, all of that junk is gone. Behold, new things have come. The Holy Spirit. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling himself to the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. I wish we had time. I'd ask Scott to tell that story that he told to the men's group about his first day at school when he saw 20 newbies. And he had this entire plan all laid out for the day, and it was going to be perfect, and he was going to get a lot of stuff done. And the Lord said, Scott, that's all great. but that ain't what you're going to do. And it's a great story that he tells, an account of how God worked mightily in that school for different people. The rest of the scripture goes on, starting in verse 20. It says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though here is a supernatural work, God were making an appeal through us. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we could not do that. But he is entreating others through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That is a supernatural work that was not available until the Holy Spirit came. And now he is here and living and dwelling in us, teaching us and showing us all things, and we now are the righteousness of God in Christ. Not through our own effort, not through our own work. So if we're thinking about that, well, you're absolutely right. You can't do it. I can't do it. I don't care how hard you try. It ain't going to work. You need the power of God to do supernatural work, not only in your life, but now it's available to others. That's the greater work. And what is the scope? It's the scope of wherever you step, wherever God calls you, whatever he calls you to do. You can throw up a quick prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do now? How do you want me to respond to that homeless person standing there on the street with a sign going, I'll work for food? Well, what do you want me to do, Lord? Just drive on by. Or he might do what he told me to do. One night I was on my way here on a Thursday night, and I had some hot sausages, and there was a guy standing there at the exit on the freeway, and he said, you know, I need food. I'm hungry. And I the light was red, and I was irritated. It's like, man, light red. And the Lord says, give him some of those sausages that you have in here that are cooked for that Thursday night group. And I did. And he goes, oh, I am so grateful. Thank you. I was so hungry. If I hadn't asked the Lord what to do, I wouldn't have done that. And there's been other times that I've said, Lord, what should I do? And he said, drive right on by. But it's not up to me. It's up to him. He's the one that makes the choice. He's the one that knows the hearts of everyone. I don't. He does. So if he says, drive on by, drive on by. If he says, stop and give him whatever you got in your pocket, give him whatever you got in your pocket. I was walking down the street in Lexington, Kentucky, Christmas time. And I was actually, it was in Columbus, Ohio. And I was in charge of the men's ministry, and I collected money every Saturday to pay for the breakfast. And every once in a while there was an abundance, so I would take it and give it to, you know, the Salvation Army or whatever. So one day I was carrying, I don't know, it was about $120 that was excess. Men were, you know, paying for their food, and this was left over and all that kind of stuff, and it had been 6 months. But I had a little stainless steel cross in my pocket, too, that someone had given me, and I pull it out and I look at it, and, you know, it was really neat. And as I was walking down the street, the Lord said, you see that guy over there in that jacket? I said, yeah. He says, I want you to reach in there and give him everything in your pocket. So I walked over there and I gave him all the money that I had. And I said, the Lord told me to give you that. And I turned around, I started to walk away, and the Lord said, did you give him everything? I said, Lord, that's my stainless steel cross. I've had that for 6 months. I'm carrying it around. I'm looking at it. I got it in my hand. I got a firm grip on it. And he goes, did you give him everything? No. Give him everything. I turned around, took the cross. I said, I forgot this. I gave him the cross and he broke into tears. He knew at that time that Jesus really did love him. It wasn't the money. Although he needed it, and he appreciated it, and he certainly didn't offer to give it back, but he needed the cross. We all need the cross. Now let me tell you what a supernatural work, greater works, means to me personally. Okay? I remember when Debbie and I were first married, and I wasn't seeing any fruit in her life, and I was very, very troubled by that, and I went and I talked to a rabbi who is just an extremely learned man, and I was talking to him about how when Israel went to war with seven countries all at the same time, I said, how in the world could they win? He said, well, Mark, that's real simple. I said, great, lay it on me. He goes, God held off the other six armies so that Israel could fight one battle at a time and win. So that was the answer to my question. He said, you've got one battle to fight, and that is to find out, is your wife a believer or not? That's your priority. You got all these other things going on. I'll stand up with the brotherhood, and we will cover your back while you fight that battle. So I went to Debbie, and I said, honey, I've got to know this. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? She said, yes. He has been ever since I was a child. Well, not everybody is audacious like me. Some are quiet, and some carry it very softly, and that's what Debbie does. She shows her life very softly, her love very softly. If you ever get her irritated, God help you. I made that mistake once. Well, maybe twice. But that's a supernatural work. That's a greater work. And another one is when we were living in Connecticut, and I promised my son if he started high school that we would not move back to Ohio. We would stay there until he completed high school. Well, he started the ninth grade, which was high school over there. And immediately, my daughter just became insane with, I gotta have these guest jeans from that place over there. Stomping her feet, and I said, we're out of here. We are gone. We are going back to Ohio where there's family, where there's people that we know and love and trust that can help us with our family. We've got to get back to our roots. Well, I had a major problem. I'd made a promise. And my son knew, and he knew that he knew, that my word is my bond. If I said it, that's it. So I had to talk to him. And I told him, I said, son, I've got to tell you something. I promise you we would not move. And we have to move. Because your sister is in grave danger. And I know I made that promise, but I've got to tell you, there's one thing in this universe that means more to me than my promise to you. And that is my obedience to God the Father Almighty. And he told me that we have to move. So I'm sorry, son, we have to move. Well, he was mad at me for a year solid. Maybe two. Or longer. But the good news is, when we allowed him to stay there in Connecticut for an extra 3 months during the summer so that he could say goodbye to his friends and all this kind of stuff. And when he came home, we were having a picnic, and we were out in the garage, and the family was all around, and Jared came up to me, and he said, "Dad, I want you to know something. I'm mad at you. You know that. But," he says, "I believe in Jesus." I'm like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. You kept him safe and brought him home at the same time." That's a supernatural work. There's another one. My baby girl. She was the one that was in danger. The Lord showed me this in a vision. We were standing at the abyss. I was on one side and she was on the other. And she said, "Daddy, Daddy, why didn't you tell me?" And I knew that I had to somehow break through. So I had, you know, lived the scriptures, told the scriptures, taught the scriptures, preached the scriptures, done all that kind of stuff. Nothing was having any effect. And one Saturday I asked her if she would come to church with me the next day, and she said, "Yes, I will." Well, I got up, got ready. I said, "Miss, are you ready to go?" And she goes, "I'm not coming." I was heartbroken. But I got up and I went to church anyway. And I sat there and I talked to the Lord. And the church was very crowded that day. And Don gave a message on salvation and the accepting of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I said, "Oh, I wish my baby girl was here." When I walked out of the meeting house, which is what they call sanctuary over there, she was sitting right there. She was sitting right there. She said, "Dad, the meeting house was jammed when I got here, but I knew I had to come today because I had promised you I'd come." She said, "I heard the message. And I get it." Whew. Three for three. But that's the supernatural work. That's what's available to us through the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, Christ in us, through us, as us, the hope of glory. Every eye closed, every head bowed, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us an opportunity today to hear your word spoken into our lives so that we can lay down the troubles that our hearts have had, the troubles that the circumstances are raising in our lives that we are allowing to be looked at from the wrong way. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you for the love that you allowed your Son to share with us, to show to us when he died on the cross. Lord, if there's anyone here who still has any doubt whatsoever, please, in Jesus' name, let them come talk to me. You'll get their heart straight. I know you will. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.